This message is supported by Boehringer Ingelheim, the maker of NexGard Plus, Afoxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel Chewable Tablets. Next level dog owners will do anything for their pets, especially when it comes to their well-being. And that means giving them next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus Chews. NexGard Plus Chews provide one and done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're designed to be easy to give in a tasty, beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
Yes, hello. Welcome to Please Won't You Shut Up? Shut up, dog. Shut up!
She's been so quiet.
I know.
She's this episode. Although it just started.
Yeah, it's true. I am Mickey.
I'm Blake.
And I am Brent.
And your puppy.
Okay, down. We're recording.
And welcome to the show that is mostly about Star Trek and drag queens.
Yay!
Since you finally saw, we'll get to
I like that we're just going to get into
it.
Yeah, right,
we're just going to get to it because I know you want to really talk about drag queens, but first comes Star Trek, then drag queens.
No, I have a lot of feelings on Star Trek.
So okay. You finally saw, the series, season finale.
Season finale, yeah.
Thoughts?
Oh, so many. Okay, so, first of all, giant Star Trek person, like, Star Trek, all the time, love it. We've gone on before about how I just want to go forward and know what happens next. That I'm so sick of all this, like, constant, like, redoing the
prequel
same time.
Prequel to a prequel.
So, I know, so I'm getting that, in a way, which is great. Uncharted territory is always fun. Not having to, like, worry about all the canon shit anymore. Like, you're post-canon. You're the new frontier.
You can do lots.
That's exciting.
Switching, yeah.
But mainly, I found season two did two things for me. It endeared the main core of characters that went to the future. Spoiler alert. But, you know, they're going 950 years into the future now. If you haven't seen it, you shouldn't be listening to this.
Yay!
Yeah, you're on the internet and you haven't seen the season finale of Discovery, like, fuck off. Go do that right now.
Why are you listening to a Star Trek
It's not
podcast?
The morning after Game of Thrones. Like, come on. Like, yeah.
Even if it's the morning after Game of Thrones, all bets are off.
Unfortunately, but yeah. That one I'm more sensitive to.
Exactly.
I am more sensitive to that, though, sure. But no, so I'm very excited that they're going into the future and that this core group of characters are, because this season made me enjoy this core group of characters a lot more and enjoy seeing them riff off each other a lot, and that's always been the core of Star Trek to me. And they haven't had that?
Yeah.
It's been like, Michael Burnham, who you still barely know, but seems to do everything twice, is now doing this shit. And also, like, Sarek's, I don't know, her dad, and also twin and mentor and space thing, and like, all right, fine.
It's the truest,
but now you're getting a bit more of the rest of them.
It's the truest form of going to a place that they have never been ever before.
Like, oh,
it's further than Q pushing you really far away.
And this is why...
Like, it's just... out of your concept.
And this is why I'm happy about that. Cleaning up all the extraneous nonsense at the outskirts. Because the other thing this season did was confuse me. I don't remember a lot of the plot points. I just generally got kind of lost. And that doesn't usually happen to me with Trek.
And like, I think it was because Star Trek has never done before a long-term, like, quest storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they were doing. Like,
Super down for.
Yeah.
I was.
But
also, like, I didn't care
work.
Enough about the places and people and shit yet. Like,
yeah. It was almost like a Star Wars-y kind of thing where, like, aside from the time travel, which apparently is now in Star Wars AOA, it's taking a fantasy element and putting it in a sci-fi element, and that usually doesn't work
well.
What,
time travel?
No, the quest.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think having a quest is necessarily... has to be particular to fantasy.
The segment of it. Like having a red angel and having to go to different areas and like solve. That's so Arthurian.
I was fine with all that, but on some level, I still didn't really care.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just didn't engage with the show.
Okay.
Like, the people hadn't got me yet, and I don't care enough about the ship. I don't care enough. I don't care. I don't care because it's not where I want to be. Like, it's not fresh and new. It's the time period before. Oh, great. So no major changes can happen. Earth can't be in dire peril ever because you're coming before all that. Like, ugh, God, who cares then? No. Give me some stakes. Like, this is good. Clean up the storyline. Set us so far in the future that we know nothing about it, I think.
And you can also look at ancestry of the universe that we know.
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
generations past of Picards or Riker or...
You're obsessed with Picard. It's 950 years later, though. Like, that's a long time to keep...
Well, no, it's not like 50 years from us right now.
I suppose
now.
So there's technology to track things.
Yeah. And it'd be interesting just to be like, oh, yeah, do you remember the Cardassians? No. We don't know, because they've dwindled.
Like, interbreeded with the Bajorans.
Or, like, they've dwindled into almost nothingness after a war that...
That would be interesting,
the throwaways.
Yeah.
Oh,
people just reading up on shit. Like, oh, hey, look at what happened to this. Like, oh my god, like, I can't wait for them to show that. And then that'll give them an avenue to eventually show us that.
And, like, go back to a world that's in ruins that is actually from an episode that you're like...
That's... Oh, yes!
Like, you could just...
Oh, it's great. Like, it's 950 years in the future. Like, God knows what's happened to the places we care about. Yeah. They could throwaways. Like, oh, this ruined planet. Like, what was it called? Oh, Bajor. Oh, shit. Like, what? Bah. Like, ah. Yeah. Excited. Yes.
We do, though, have a hint. And it was from before this season.
What was that name?
Do you remember Calypso?
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Calypso was one of the
shorts. Oh, yes.
Yeah, and it was an empty ship AI, for some reason, in the future, the exact same time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so we now know Calypso occurs after the season 2 finale.
And they may just be off the ship for a little while during that now. Like, it's
who knows why it's
there. We initially thought it was, like, stranded there for... How long did she say she'd been alone?
Oh, I forgot. That's the thing. Like, a long goddamn
time.
Like, something happens, and the ship is alone... After it develops an AI.
That's weird.
Or it is installed with
one. That's weird. But the show's called Discovery, so they can't really, like, abandon ship, and then it's like, now the Discovery crew on a planet for 2 more seasons. It's like, no.
Like, you can have them trying to get back to the Discovery.
But
you can only do that for, like, half a season.
Exactly.
That gets tiring.
Yep.
I'm excited by the possibilities. What do we know about this time period? Anything?
Aside from... the fact that there was an active federation in some sort and a temporal bureau.
This is Daniel's era.
Yeah, this is Daniel's era.
Daniel's, that's
so
exciting.
So, if it is still accurate to that, then there is a USS Enterprise J
wide thing.
Yeah, that enormous, it was miles
it's
in
the
diameter.
Pizza cutter Enterprise.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Like, it's the rollerblade, like...
It really is super thin.
Yeah.
It makes no sense for a space, because I swear that's one deck thick, almost to just be like, yeah, fuck you, it takes a lot of energy to move this through the universe.
I won't
move it. No, but it's so wide that it's, like, 3 decks thick even, and it's fucking monstrous. Like, isn't it 3 miles wide, you said?
Yeah. So, like, imagine turbo lifting at a speed that is still safe for humans... from one end of the ship to another, because someone, like, called you, we need you in engineering. You have to get...
Just let me orbit there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just gonna, like, swing around.
They probably just teleport you. I mean, seriously, at that point, it should just be, like,
everyone probably wears a personal transport device.
Yeah.
That was fucking awesome.
It's the Kmart, vacuum tubes. You just step on...
Yes.
Boop, 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 boop. Yeah.
Do the Jetsons have people in those kind of tubes? I picture that in some cartoon.
You picture it in Futurama. Was Jetsons.
It was up and
but...
down in Jetsons, but never, like, sideways and, like, crazy. It was like you just walked into it and you went up.
Yeah, it was the most basic concept of it, because they were actually like, well, how would I, you know, it's like...
And didn't they have, like, an elevation button that the Jetsons, like, it would just be like, oh, we created a lot of smog. Just go a little bit higher.
That was from Harvey Birdman, where they found themselves, they show up in the year 2003, and they're like, we're from the future, 1997! Listen to me! You know,
Harvey Birdman, I haven't thought of that in a while.
Good.
That's a great fucking show.
And if I recall, they sued the government or something because of the environmental disaster of the smog combined with global warming meant they couldn't escape disaster with their moving houses. If you got too high, you ended up in smog. If you were too low, you got drowned and eaten by, like, fish people.
That's hilarious. If we're transitioning into Jetsons level science fiction, unless you have any more thoughts on Discovery,
I'm good.
Are you generally excited for a clean new start as well? Or?
I am so excited to see where they can go. I hope they don't fuck it up.
Yeah, but it's exciting.
It is,
and that's what they needed.
I have no idea.
That's what I fucking needed because I'm bored.
No clue.
That's it. I'm bored because there's no stakes.
Which is funny because you're enjoying the Orville. Which is
I fucking love the Orville. That's where I was trying to segue to.
Yeah, I when I say rehash, I don't mean that in an offensive way. It is TNG.
Yes, it's a remake of TNG.
Same thing.
But that's the thing. It's a reimagining of TNG, just like Battlestar. The newer Battlestar was a reimagining of a show that I cannot abide watching because I'm sorry, it's just too much of a time. It's like watching the original series of Star Trek. I'm like, most episodes are too much of a time. There's some good ones. Edith Keeler kicks around for a minute, and that's the one worth watching. But other than that, you know, it's tough. But no, it's really fun and well done. Like, no, I am definitely more emotionally invested in the Orville than I am in Discovery, which I did not expect to happen at all. Because I am severely diehard Trek, and the Orville's just so perfectly Trek.
Yeah,
it's perfectly that era of Trek that I want and that I love. Like,
and apparently, I haven't seen the trailer for the season finale except for like a tiny clip, and it looks like they had a massive like Borg-esque invasion earlier in the season, and I thought that looked great. This looks better.
Yeah, whatever's that did going look on. Great. That space battle looked fucking awesome.
Yeah, like everything about. You look at it at first and you're like, this seems so cheap and rip-off design and everything. But the more you experience it, the more you see the logic in why they design things this way, why it looks so cheesy, why the practical use they get out of the cheese.
I also really enjoy the veracity of the Klingons.
Yes.
And how they enter a fucking like area. They're just like, no, we're gonna show up. It's like the biggest space Escalade, and just be like,
no one had ever mentioned this thing before, and just
that was great.
What the fuck is that?
It is a space Escalade. That's like, exactly perfect.
Oh god, yeah, it's like being in traffic and a fucking Titan rolls up next to you, and they're
like, oh wow, you have a cooler in like three zones for different temperatures.
That space battle I didn't enjoy nearly as much. Because it was very Battlestar-esque with tons of tiny little fighters all of a sudden. I was like, why?
Like, it made sense, but it was also like, oh, this is a budget thing. You always wanted there to, like, a producer here, always wanted there to be fighters in Star Trek, and it's not interesting enough. And it's like, there always were fighters, it's just, it's expensive to make fighter footage.
Yeah, and it's not fun. No, it's been done to death. Like, BSG did it way better.
Yeah.
So just stop.
And yeah, like, either you're going to end up with BSG or you're going to end up with Star Wars. Why do you need either of those in Star Trek?
Yeah.
We're used
to... The Orville space battle had no fucking little fighters that I recall. It was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
That was great.
Or tailor it to the conflict.
Yes.
Like, and it made sense because it was an AI. Like,
yeah, exactly. It makes sense
because you would want to use a machine more than any human thing.
Yeah, but it was weird because then the AI had prepared a bunch of like crazy fighters all of a sudden, and it's like, okay, like I guess everybody's going fighters, but somehow in the continuity in the canon, we never have fighters in the future. What the hell? Like, oh, fuck off!
But it's on an intelligence ship that is like probably souped up.
Yeah, well, in the context it works. I hope they don't start introducing fighters into every space battle that they have in some aspect. But like, there were fighters in the TNG era. You just didn't see them because they were expensive to produce. Proto Tom Paris and as such Will Wesley, Red Squadron, all those fuckers, flew fighters. There were fighters used in the Dominion War.
Yep.
They had fighters. It's just that was one of the most expensive effects to shoot because people expected like Star Wars level fighters. And
budget you have for a certain syndicated television is not there.
And your crew is used to space naval combat, not space aerial combat.
Yeah.
And you don't know how to shoot everything to look right. So they never fucking bothered.
I want to nitpick at Discovery a little more.
Okay.
I'm so sorry, I'm not over it.
Uh-huh.
So Christopher Pike was great.
Yeah.
Rebecca Romijn showed up for, like, the most minor role I've ever seen.
That was unexpected.
Yeah, and then Spock came, and we got used to Spock, and then Spock having a beard was supposed to be a thing we cared about, and then Spock suddenly shaved off his beard and looked way more bland, and then now we're not going to see those characters at all anymore?
Or maybe we will,
because, or you're, like, going to make another
totally could.
Continuing show where it's in that timeline, and we're still surrounded by a clusterfuck of canon bullshit, and I still have to get exasperated every episode?
But at least then it would be...
There was a time when Pike stepped away from the Enterprise, and I think it was right when the... Rebecca Romijn character, is there one in previous canon, like...
Only in the similar pilot. To... Only in the pilot with him.
Okay.
Yeah. She's... number one is a character that, until this, only existed in the pilot. She doesn't even have a name. It's number one.
So what happens in the new show? Do we get rid of her immediately and have... what's his name there? What is his name there?
I can't
Tiberius.
Remember. Kirk. James?
And have Kirk right away? Or do we have number one for a while and no Kirk, and then we're just waiting around for Kirk to come along?
Or her
knowing that the Earth will be fine, the Enterprise will be fine, everyone will still be okay.
Yeah, there's a few years there that
but
they
there's
can
a lot of swapping of captains of ships back and forth at
yeah,
this
but what
time
I'm saying
well.
Is there's no high stakes. Everyone's eventually going to be fine. Like, we know that because it's happening even closer to established canon.
Yeah,
it bores me.
But the mirror universe was also hidden. Like, it, like all of these things happened. Right
yeah, but
underneath.
I'm saying there's no real threat. Like, all the main characters.
You
or
knock
most
on
of
wood.
Them,
you knock
know.
On wood.
No, like Christopher Pike, number one. You've seen them in at least the pilot.
Well,
you know
yeah,
that they're
you,
there.
You know
that
what
still...
happens to Pike specifically. He will get critically burned by radiation and crippled.
Yeah.
He will
but
end
we
up
know
in
that.
The chair.
He knows that.
Yeah. You know. So that has to happen. In some sense, I kind of like the way that the new movies handle that, where they're just like, yeah, he's in the chair, but, like, you know, it's just because he got hurt in the war. He's not all like, rah!
Yeah, that
beep,
was
beep,
a
beep,
lot.
Beep, 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 you know?
Yeah, that was a lot, especially for someone as pretty as Anson Mount. Like, oh, Anson Mount, handsomest man who's not in this room. See? Good save.
He does kind of have the head shape.
Oh, that's nice. You do.
Ha! Salt and pepper rum, and you've got a Halloween costume.
Have you seen your beard? It's getting there.
That's true.
Yeah, I don't have anything more to say about Orville either, except that I fucking love it this year.
Looking forward to tomorrow.
No, Orville,
yeah,
Orville had the quintessential Riker-Thomas episode, where
oh, they did.
First officer got split
yeah.
in two,
yep.
and it's like,
oh,
oh my
yeah!
God,
that's
here.
What the continuation is this week, yeah.
I wanted Deanna Troi to walk in on two of her and just be like, wait a second.
I always yeah. say that I don't have more to say on this, and then you always... You trigger me. Oh my god, I have so much more to say. What I think this episode is about coming up, yeah, is like, that's all flashbacks to stuff they've done in the last season, because all of that stuff is now not going to have happened, so everything in the future is going to be super shit, and they have to figure out why, and they're like, oh my god, Kelly, like, that, we have vague memories, like, one of those TNG episodes where they're like, weird, we have strange memories, and it's not supposed to be this way. Oh my god, the Orville could bring a Guinan on board somehow.
Oh,
they don't have a Guinan character.
Oh, they're not.
They can bring fucking Guinan
on
board.
Fucking literal Guinan.
Oh my god,
Whoopi
would.
She's like, can I at least have my windows on a 45-degree angle?
Oh my god, she
I
totally
prefer
would.
The lighting.
She
oh
totally
god.
Would. She'd
oh my
play
god.
Guinan.
They would
be
rebuild
great.
The entire original set in the
ten-four.
Like, perfectly of 10-4.
Ten now.
So like, you'd be walking in the Orville hallway. Turn a corner into the room, and the lighting would change. The material would change.
They would comment on it.
The uniforms
definitely.
Would
they would comment.
The
on
only
it.
Insignia, like insignia, would be the.
Yeah.
No, it's just a holodeck program. It's a holodeck program that one of them is a fan of TNG
no,
made,
yeah.
and it has
so
guided
it's
in it.
It's literally
oh my
guided.
God, it's literally it's, guided, but she's a hologram.
Yeah, it's Mercer himself being like, I always loved this, and that's why I went into.
Oh, I love this. Please let this happen. I'll be so excited.
Set
the people will fix everything.
Seth, hear
oh,
us.
It's so good.
Hear us.
Oh, if we predicted
with,
this?
Oh
with,
my god, that
with
was
the way,
awesome.
With the
great.
Way that he does his animation, I wouldn't be... He likes to jump a ship into a brand new world.
Yeah, well, it's
like
true.
That. And I'm okay with it. I trust him. Well, that's, like, I actually trust it. Like, if he wanted to be like, all right, let's go back with Picard now, I would say, okay.
You would say that anyway. Oh my god, you cannot stop talking about Picard or the new show or anything about Picard.
Because he's getting to an age that I want to see him before he gets too old.
You're afraid he's going to George R. R. Martin us. He's going to die before, yes. Well, starting the project in this case. Let him, not
Don't
finishing.
Say George R. R. Martin until George R. R. Martin has George R. R. Martin.
Don't say it three times.
Shit!
He'll appear and then collapse immediately.
Collapse, not give me Winds of Winter.
Oh my god.
Fuck's sake.
I'm not even sure how much I care anymore.
I do. Yeah, I read through all of Dune and only at the end of what was available found out that, oh, there was supposed to be like 6 more books and all of this was plotted and he never got to write it because he died.
But I hate that
all those
shit.
Questions?
That's too many books off. In a series. That is too many books in a series. Stop it at like 5.
Especially when you're like 60,000 years into a story.
It. Yeah, don't pre... Well...
No, don't prequel it.
Oh, before you're done? No, fuck you. No, you have to finish first, and then you can prequel it if you must. Then you can have supplement materials. That's fine. I'm a dork, too. I get it. I like that shit.
Or do it in smaller stints.
But once your main story's done and ended at like 5 books, probably. Yeah. Oh, God. Like, who's that guy, Robert Jordan? He's like, I'll have like 14 novels under my belt, still not be dead, and then die.
Yeah.
And then no one cares, because it got boring way before that anyway. But no, not down with that.
Speaking of things that no one gives a shit about, James Cameron's still making Avatar movies.
Never saw the original.
Don't.
Yeah, no interest.
It was only interesting in its immediate release vicinity for audiences who have never seen a big budget blockbuster high definition graphic film. By now, we've all seen this shit, so it doesn't matter anymore.
It was a big 3D one too.
It was essentially it brought back 3D.
Okay, here's the thing: I fucking hate 3D. I hate it. It's awful. It hurts my eyes. I've never sat through more than like 10 minutes of a 3D movie.
It doesn't bother me.
It
so
bothers me terribly.
If I'm going to go see, like, tomorrow night, I've got tickets for Endgame. I will see that in 3D because I'm going to see stuff that fucking zany in 3D. Like, in the last movie, a man went like this. He crushed his hand and a moon behind him imploded. And then he threw the moon at a guy in a super suit. I'm going to see that in 3D because that's going to be fucking stupid in 3D. I'm not going to watch, like, other stuff or, like, historical dramas or comedies in 3D.
I would totally watch a historical drama in 3D.
Oh my god.
Because there'd be so little 3D. Nope, not down with that.
Okay. It's just Little Women, but in 3D. It's like, we have to pick random things. So that teacup is in 3D.
So is he making like Avatar 2?
Avatar 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. Oh. All at once. Oh, yeah.
Wait a minute. And 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
This is what
he
has been doing since Avatar 1.
Why has there been no publicity about this?
No, there has been. But do you recall when Avatar 1 was?
No. Like I said, I did not see it.
Yeah. And that's all he's been doing. So, like, there's a lot of publicity, but it's only... No one cares anymore. No one cares. So it went from excitement to... Okay, this is still going.
To, like, sure you are, James. Sure.
Yeah, to sure you are. To, really?
So what is all this shit coming out?
So this is... So
Avatar is... Not that it matters. I
still
haven't seen the first one, so I don't really care.
Like, it says... Okay!
This does sound like a grand disaster.
And that's the funny thing. It's like, yeah, he's so confident in this and, like, apparently doesn't want to listen to anyone say no one cares, is that, yeah, he's created an unsinkable ship that will go...
Wow. Yeah. I can't imagine why anyone would be that interested. I honestly can't. And, like, I live in a world where people watch Too Fast, Too Furious, like, what, 14? Like,
yeah. Well, the new one is 9 or 10.
Yeah, that's too many.
And it looks amazing. Idris Elba's in it.
It's a disaster movie of a different kind, and I do love a good disaster
movie. Oh, that's the thing. They've transitioned from disaster films into comic book movie now. This new one is Jason Statham and The Rock, and that's it, fighting Idris Elba in a super suit while he commits crimes. That's the fucking movie now. That's Fast and the Furious now.
The fuck does that have to do with cars? Am I thinking of the wrong movies?
No, you're not.
I'm so glad I have not seen a single one of them. I sometimes I regret being such a curmudgeon with pop culture and everything, But not right now. No.
Like they still have a lot of like car stunts, but no, it's not about cars. Oh god, that's ridiculous. It hasn't been about cars since like 3.
My favorite action thing is the transporter.
Oh, I love that.
Because it's just, it's kind of Bond, but kind of Chav at the same time.
It's such garbage. Like I hated it so much.
It's so disposable, but it's so well refined.
I like the garbage version of Transporter, which is...
Transporter?
No, Crank. Yes. Crank It 1 and 2 are the Transporter if we just gave it a lot of speed.
Yeah.
And had no eye for like attempting. Like,
took
bond.
A car battery with the two bits, and you're just like, okay.
Yeah. Oh, you want to be elegant? That's Crank.
This sounds terrible.
No, it is. What is a video game as a movie? It's the exact same like cast as Transporter, but if you gave them all really cheap but like powerful speed, and then made a movie out of the result. Where they had to get through stuff.
It's a Memento.
That sounds terrible.
It's great.
It's like Memento in the way that it feels like a movie.
But it's also like Looney Tunes in the way it feels like Looney Tunes.
It just has dimension at this point.
It is. Partially
the
is.
The very first one ends with like a fist fight falling from a helicopter onto a car. The fight is falling from the helicopter that they fell
and they fight each other
on the way down.
No, it's not. I understand that some people are into this kind of film, and I'm not saying film right now just to be pretentious either, because I realize I already sound pretentious for hating this, but I hate this kind of comedy.
And
this
then it comes back to life.
This is stupid. No.
He literally comes back to life because they're like, oops, sequel, adrenaline.
No.
It's the human equivalent to speed. It's like you just so, I can't go below 50 kilometers an hour running.
I'm not gonna disparage speed, and you know that, so that movie's great.
Which one? The one when they drive a ship into the side of Miami?
Nobody's seen
that one?
Speed 2, Cruise Control, which deserves to have the full name used because it's so bad.
Not within the last 2 decades anyway.
So bad.
Oh my god. Willem Dafoe, what were you doing?
Speed is fucking great. I love that movie. It was awesome.
The premise is fine, but
it's awesome.
How long can you watch Keanu Reeves standing over Sandra Bullock's shoulder?
That's the movie. Apparently, like at least 90 minutes. Like, yep. Oh yeah, love it. Totally great.
Every now and then he points at something, and she just kind of turns a wheel towards it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
Dramatic.
It's like Rear Window, but instead it's Front Window.
That's bad.
No.
I just want like Rosa Parks to photobomb, just be like, snag it off.
Yes!
Like, can I just
Can you stop
this bus?
Why didn't that happen? I take it back, it's a very flawed film.
For your own safety. There's a bomb up front. For your own safety, get to the back of the bus. What the fuck did you just say to me?
Oh, that'd be so good.
Or like if the door's open and she's like, you know what? I think I'm just gonna walk.
Next time, Rosa turns. Is
the woman that they kill who, like, falls from the bus, is she fucking Sparkle Motion from Donnie Darko? I think she might be.
Sparkle Motion? It's gonna take me a moment to think about that.
Well, I have phrased the question in a particularly, like, kind of out there way, so it may take you a moment.
I think it is. The actual problem is I don't like Donnie Darko, and though I've seen it a few times, I don't like it.
Okay.
So I don't.
I enjoy it, but it's not a movie I can defend easily either because it is bizarre.
I wanted to like it. I tried to like it. I watched it a bunch of times, and then I read this incredible essay from the guy who wrote it and discovered that, oh, you're an idiot. You think you know something, and you're so committed to that that you built this incredible world that is imaginative and brilliant and everything, but it's like you think it's real. Or you misunderstand temporal mechanics, and so everything's just slightly off. Just slightly off, and yet everyone thinks it's brilliant. It's just like,
Could be worse.
Oh, yeah.
He could have made it about Dexter and then actually started murdering people.
Yeah.
Not because of Dexter, but because of his own work.
It could be worse.
Superior.
It could be Batman versus Superman.
Didn't see it, and I love Batman, but couldn't bring myself to watch it. Yeah, I know. I have no intentions. Isn't that fucking the Batfleck?
Yes.
Yeah, I can't do that.
And
I cannot do that.
It's the most failure.
I sat through Val Kilmer as Batman, and I still.
Val Kilmer was better.
Clooney.
Clooney was better.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, like all Batfleck really does.
Can we rank Batman?
Yes.
Brent, we're gonna rank Batman. You should probably get in here. Who's been the latest one?
The latest is still Batfleck, technically.
Okay.
Because they have said that he's not going to take part, but they haven't announced who is. Oh, wait, no, hold on. They may have announced that it's Armie Hammer. He was in The Man from U.N.C.L.E. He was the Lone Ranger. That's about it.
In terms of...
Yeah, he looks like a superhero. Actually, he should be Superman, because he looks like Superman. Anyway, ranking Batman.
Batman. Haven't seen the Batfleck, but I can't imagine it being good.
It's that, grim.
I can How never go from top to bottom. I have to go from bottom to top, because
it's a bit personal for this podcast.
Where does Val for?
That's
Val
where I everyone. Started with. Val Kilmer's definitely
well,
got to be a solid.
He seems
middle.
To be the middle of everyone.
He brought
I'm
a really good Robin.
Who?
Oh, Val.
What? He wasn't Robin. Oh, you mean he had
like his Robin?
It's the only role Chris O'Donnell was ever any good in.
Two Batman?
Scent of a Woman.
Yeah, he was. Oh, and Scent of a Woman. Yeah,
I'll give him those two.
You know what? I've ranked Robin higher than Batman.
Oh,
I rank Robin higher than
as
Batman.
A character?
No, like throughout all of the shows, they had the same Robin for two Batman. I rank him higher
because he was there for two. A bunch of them were there for two as
and
Batman.
And the movie was Batman.
No, he gets no ranking anywhere. No,
it was because
he gets eye candy.
And
at the
he
time.
Can do laundry pretty sexy.
That's what he gets.
That was kind of interesting.
Like, sorry,
ridiculous.
That's fine. Ridiculous. Yes.
Top 10 sexiest Alfreds. Go.
Michael Caine, always.
Michael Caine.
Done.
There's no love for the guy from the 90s? All scraggly and, like,
Goff,
friendly?
Go, something.
That's
his last name. Yeah, oh my god, like the walking corpse.
I'm not saying he's my vote. My vote would go towards Pertwee. Wait, no. Yeah, it's Pertwee. Pertwee's the current Alfred on Gotham, which ends tomorrow.
Haven't seen it.
Oh.
Well, watched an episode or two, hated it.
Yes. No, that's the thing. It's a hate watch, and then you start building its, like, soap opera-y levels of canon, and so you get to a point where you're like, it's ridiculous. They're going to literally blow up the city and everyone in it, and I'm here to watch these people die!
when it ends, and when it shows up on Netflix and it tells me to binge through it, I will.
It's
but
on Netflix,
then,
it ends tomorrow.
Is it up to current on Netflix?
It will be within, like, a month.
Well, that's enough time to catch up.
But there's, like, five or six seasons, so, yeah.
That's almost enough time. That's who am I kidding? It's more than enough time to catch up. What am I doing?
Anyway, ranking the Batmans. So we know that Val Kilmer's in the middle of the Kinsey scale, no matter what.
How high is Adam West?
I am going to put Adam first. He's the most important. He is the Batman.
He's the most important, but we're
he's an establishment
in terms
of
portrayal as well. I think he deserves one demotion.
Oh no, I will go full on geek because in the 50s and the 60s, the era actually right up until they sold the show rights, that was Batman.
I know.
That was perfect. And it shows the potential for the character.
And it was counterculture?
Exactly. It was not only counterculture. It was created in the Playboy penthouse. Like, not the offices of Playboy penthouse. There used to be a penthouse where they filmed a show called Playboy's Penthouse. And it would just be, like, Hugh Hefner hanging around with the Rat Pack for half an hour. And they'd film it. And they'd be like, hey, Frank, why don't you sing a song? And he'd sing a fucking song, and they'd drink and make a couple of jokes, and Arthur Miller would come by. And this is where
so they were podcasting, essentially.
Yeah, and it was during one of these parties that Batman 66 was created.
That's amazing.
And that's why it's amazing, because if you understand that context, it's fucking
like,
insane.
Do we really want to put Adam West number one? I mean, don't get me wrong, I love him, and he's amazing, and I'm not critiquing his portrayal of Batman in any way. I'm just saying the Batman that I love is such a fun,
dark
character.
Oh, I'm speaking just personally.
Yeah, but I'm talking, like, we're talking best portrayal of Batman.
Okay, best Adam portrayal of Batman, really... I would say, who was the voice of the animated series?
That's who I would say. Kevin Conroy.
Kevin Conroy.
Conroy or like, Conway?
Conroy. Yeah.
I would put him number one.
That shuttered fear into me as a child. Yep. Like, oh,
Adam
you
West
are the dark.
Two.
Like,
yeah. Exactly, Adam West number two, but like, no, I'm sorry, you inspired
for
a ton
voice,
of following.
Absolutely. Due to his appearance, he can never be Batman in appearance. And we need
that doesn't
both.
Matter.
No, we need both.
No!
This is a...
No!
Then
we're talking portrayal of Batman, and
oh,
in
yeah.
this case,
where,
that includes
where
an
do
animated
you feel,
facade.
Where do you feel Dietrich Bader lands, then? Hmm?
Who?
Hmm?
What?
Dietrich Bader. Or Bader.
Batman
the,
Beyond?
No. The guy, he was in, it was simply called The Batman, but if you remember the UPS worker character friend from the Drew Carey Show?
Yes.
That guy's a Batman.
I knew that. What the fuck was his name on that show?
Dietrich Bader?
No. I'm...
Oh, no, his actual character name?
Yeah.
That's the thing, it was so pointless. It was like...
Yeah, I know exactly
like
what you
Carl
mean, though.
Carl or something like
no,
that.
No, he had a weird name. Oswald.
Oswald.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm down with that. That's fine. He can be in the rankings. He won't be high up because I don't know him. But
he does a very his voice actually works really well.
See, that's the thing. He's got an iconic voice. I could.
Well, and if you put the cowl over top, I can see him kind of having the like.
But Kevin Conroy gets number one for me.
That's fair.
But the animation to go with him. This is the thing.
Voice.
No, but it's the portrayal. So the animation that goes with it, that period look of the animated series plus that voice,
so not
that's
Kevin,
fucking the tits Batman. That's my number
Kevin
one Batman.
Not Kevin Conroy Arkham Asylum series.
The Dick Tracy
years. No, Kevin Conroy, like, animated
you're
Batman
talking
animated
like the
series.
Dick Tracy years.
Yeah, the Paul Dini produced.
Yes,
Deco,
yes.
Yeah.
That's,
okay.
I think that's fair.
And it has some of the best villains,
I think,
too,
you know,
because it has Clayface in, like, the... like he's a bodybuilder or something. You're like
yeah,
the character
yeah,
of the Clayface
right.
is like
he's actually basically like massaging steroids and cream into his muscles, and he basically turns himself into a giant blob. Yeah, he's great.
It's dark.
It
but I'm
really
just thinking,
dark,
like Clooney.
Yeah.
I'm sure one of us at some point is going to dock him points even for humor for having bat nipples, and like that's not
that was bad.
That's a directorial choice, an appearance choice, just like the animations are on. The animated series, so no, I'm saying that counts as a full portrayal.
What is worse, bat nipples or bat codpiece?
Well, okay, you're asking two gay men which is worse out of those two things.
I don't
but
mind either
of
them when done
yes,
well.
I'm yes. asking which is a worse style decision to run with. Do you go with the blatant codpiece on armor or...
So
you,
bad.
Yeah, so bad. Or do you go with the Grecian remake of the chest?
No, there's no excuse for nipples on the batsuit. That's fucked.
Even though it's Grecian?
There's no excuse for nipples on the batsuit. That's
aerodynamics.
That's fucked. That's
it,
so
it
weird.
It would tell us that it may not benefit.
That is not a superhero outfit. That is fetish wear. Like, what possible...
It was always fetish
what
wear.
Yes, of course, but at least...
Superheroes.
It wasn't so on the nose about it.
I'm saving crime in tights.
Yes, no, Catwoman Michelle Pfeiffer wasn't on the nose about anything.
Wasn't as on the nose as fucking bat nipples.
Bullshit, she had a whip.
Yeah.
Still just a shade... Less obnoxious than bat nipples.
In fact, I'm willing to say that Catwoman, as portrayed even in the 60s, was still very straightforward, just like, here's bad sex that people don't want you to have.
I'm not going to hear anyone besmirch Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman in this house. That's not going to happen.
I'm not besmirching
so
her.
Good.
It's just that...
I'm aware of what it is. I am. But I'm still saying it's not... It's just not quite as egregious as bat nipples. There's no excuse for that.
I have to admit, I haven't.
She has a whip that she uses
Batman
to behead mannequins and attack people, for Christ's sakes, and save herself. She does all kinds of useful things with the whip. What the fuck does he do with the bat nipples?
Distract his enemies, obviously.
Well, obviously, Jesus, he's distracting everyone.
What were you saying?
I have to admit, I have never seen the Affleck version of Batman.
Oh, I haven't
there's
seen the Batfleck
either. There's two
does it
versions.
Matter?
Yes, there's two versions of the Affleck Batman.
Explain.
Alright, so the first version is the way that Zack Snyder portrayed him. Very dark, very brutal, branding criminals with a red-hot bat brand to get them murdered in prison.
What?
Yeah, he shoots people to death. He runs them down with his car. He's psychotic.
That doesn't have a gun. Batman.
Yes, he does. He does when Zack Snyder's making him.
That's ridiculous. I do not approve.
He has multiple guns.
That goes into the final position for me.
He blows up a supervillain by shooting his flamethrower. Like, he had a flamethrower backpack, the supervillain. And Batman's got a bar. A bar is one of those stationary guns that you set up in combat, and you need someone to feed you bullets on a belt. So he's one-handing this thing, and he shoots the guy in the... And the guy's holding Martha Kent hostage in his arm. And so Batman shoots the gas tank, grabs Martha, puts her under, like, his apparently completely fireproof and pressure and temperature-proof cape, and the buddy explodes to death. And so he believes in murder, specifically of Superman, because he's a threat.
I am not down for Batman.
Has killed people. I think that's fair.
You know, it happens sometimes in his line of work, but he's not going around shooting people.
That's Batman, Batfleck 1. Because of that.
Last ranking.
Because of everything that I just said.
He doesn't get on the fucking list.
You end up with Batfleck 2. Who's written by Joss Whedon.
That's got to be a transition.
Yeah, you take that character with already, like, plot points and lines written with that original darkness intended, and you hand it to Joss Whedon because they fired Zack Snyder because he was doing that. Mm-hmm. And Whedon goes, fuck! And writes, essentially, Batman becomes the dry, comedic, reflection of the Justice League. He's an old man who's just like, all the time. Those are the two Batflex.
Like an aged version of Deadpool.
Not even.
Oh.
No, that sounds cool. That sounds
okay. So do we have our bottom two slots then?
Yep.
Okay. Well, you know what? That's good because we haven't seen it, but we already rejected it on principle because it's the Batflex. So I'm glad that's in the bottom. All right, so at the moment we have, let's say, a contested top spot for Kevin Conroy and Adam West.
Yeah, but that's a different kind of contest because I'm not willing to fight one or the other in that kind of ephemera. That is a pantheon.
So what you're saying is that it's Kevin Conroy and then Adam West.
No, I'm saying that is a dual religion. Don't fuck with me.
So I'm saying is Kevin Conroy and then his son,
Jihad,
who is also
Jihad,
part of
Jihad, Jihad.
That's going to get us some attention in the audience. That's good.
But here's...
Fine, but okay, so they're both very high up there, but yeah. Who's next?
And we know in the middle is Val Kilmer. So the bottom of it, I'm going to say that between Kilmer and Affleck is Clooney.
Yes. You agreed?
Who was the one with, Keaton.
Michael Keaton.
So that was put higher.
Well, yeah, he's not going. No, no, we're talking the bottom. This is between the bare bones bottom that is Batfleck and Val Kilmer.
In the middle.
I would say Clooney was worse than Kilmer.
Clooney was dealing with like five villains that were like exponentially worse. So like he actually held up a fair amount of
the movie. Was it, who was Clooney's? Was that the Riddler?
Yeah, Riddler.
No, that was
and
like Ivy.
Yeah,
Ivy and Mr. Freeze.
Jim Carrey and
Tommy Lee Jones.
Yeah, I would put him higher.
They're definitely more dangerous.
You would put Clooney higher than Kilmer?
I think so.
Okay, I definitely would not have sex with
I'd like alone, Kilmer but more, but I think as like a Batman role, his was actually a little bit...
Clooney was just too, like, too relaxed, too chill, and then borderline campy for my taste, just no.
There is an in-story reason for that, though. See, that characterization of Batman Bruce Wayne was actually written for Val Kilmer, because in Val Kilmer's movie, he has growth. Dr. Chase Meridian, as played by...
Kidman.
Oh my God, thank you. I forgot her name, and I love her, and that's weird. Nicole Kidman actually treats and saves Batman. He is no longer suffering from PTSD at the end of that movie. And so George Clooney's character is upbeat because he no longer is essentially suffering.
But there's no reference to Chase Meridian because there's no actual Kilmer in this one. That's
exactly.
Terrible.
So, like, it seems like a sudden shift, but it actually is a like, you know, it's bullshit. You don't just get over PTSD to the point that you...
Well, that's the thing, is they often excuse, like, boring-ass character changes like that, too. It's like, oh, well, you're cured now. It's like, well, okay, so they cured you of a personality? Like, no, I would...
Yeah.
I would disagree. We'll have another nebulous bottom one there.
Yeah. I just find the one film with all of the crazy villains, like the horrible, horrible villains.
Which one was that you're talking about?
The Poison Ivy and Freeze and...
That's the Kilmer one.
Yeah.
No, Poison Ivy and Freeze is the Clooney one. That's Batman and Robin.
Okay.
But those are the only two villains that are in it.
Which one am I thinking then?
I think you may be thinking of like an animated one or not. Because Batman number one, or Batman 1 in 1989 was the Joker. Batman Returns was Catwoman and Penguin.
And Max Schreck.
Fucking
Max Schreck. Max Schreck, what? He was great.
Max Schreck doesn't exist. It's just what happens when Christopher Walken wanders into a fucking production.
And it worked. It was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah, it's true. Batman Forever was the Riddler and Two-Face, and Batman and Robin was Mr. Freeze and Ivy and Bane. Bane is also in it.
Joel Schumacher should end up at the bottom of this list.
God, all of this is technically, yeah, his fault.
Trash. Yep. Clooney and Kilmer, maybe it's a tie for bad because of Joel Schumacher. Let's just take them both off the list and make Joel Schumacher just above just above the Batfleck.
Just the Schumacher zone.
Batfleck
just shooting. It's like a plateau where, like, Clooney and...
Yeah. They're in the Schumacher
Kilmer
zone.
Kilmer are, like,
together.
They're just sitting there like, all right, we didn't do bad.
Yeah.
So who's, like, okay. So yeah. Who's resting above
the
Schumacher zone?
We enter a very
zone?
Interesting question here, because, who do you think is better in their one-note portrayal of Batman? Christian Bale or Michael Keaton?
I'd say Christian Bale in his consistent delivery of a character that I feel is not what Batman should be.
I would put Keaton just above, just because there are glimpses of personality to Keaton's
There's
portrayal.
Certainly glimpses of madness in that one. Like, there are moments when...
Human madness.
There's glimpses
yes, exactly.
of very distinct...
Like manic instability.
In Keaton's?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, for instance, there's a lot of small hints that he's on medication and things.
Okay.
But there's a moment... When the Joker appears in his apartment, or not his apartment, in, her name is...
Oh,
Anyway,
oh, come on.
So it's Kim Basinger.
Yeah.
It's playing the character from the fucking comics. Anyway, she's a well-known...
She's a journalist. Vicky Vale.
Vicky Vale. Yeah, so the Joker appears in Vicky Vale's apartment trying to woo her, and Bruce Wayne, appears at the same time. And the Joker kind of, like, intimidates Wayne, and Wayne responds by grabbing a fire poker, smashing some shit on the hearth, and saying, "You want to get crazy? Let's get crazy," to the Joker. Why would billionaire Bruce Wayne
That's
suddenly
bizarre.
Go nuts?
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Keaton has a subtle insanity that is just like, oh, yeah, no, that makes sense for a man who would dress like a bat.
Well, he's very drawn to insanity when it comes to Catwoman, too.
Yeah.
Like, she's batshit nuts. That's a great scene, watching her lose her goddamn mind.
Yeah,
I love that.
She's so good.
So good. And he's clearly very into that. So, yeah, I can see that.
You can see the dance between them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're coming at it from different sides and different things, but they are both...
And Bale and Hathaway didn't make sense, but they made sense.
Yeah.
There were two... I like to think of it, and I'm sure this is actually what Tim Burton was going at, they're two fetishists who discovered that they're both into the same thing. And now they're going to go
by different roads.
Yeah, exactly.
By different roads, and they didn't know they would meet on this path. And they're like,
that makes sense.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, and I'm actually pretty damn sure that's what Tim Burton meant.
I think Keaton gets...
Him.
Yeah,
I think right after that explanation, I'm very proud to add that one is my favorite of the movies.
Batman Returns. The universal is my explanation for
it's great, but that's why I'm putting Keaton right above Christian Bale.
Recent that was very good was the Batman
amazing.
Lego.
Oh yeah,
that Lego
was great.
Blew me away
that
because
was
it's amazing.
It's just,
amazing.
It was so fun.
So fucking funny.
And that's Will Arnett.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Will Arnett, that's
has
right.
the perfect, like, Bert, like the... Like,
oh, it's a surprisingly good voice
yeah,
for it.
Yeah.
And his attitude was just so...
Can I Controversy. I kind of want to put him in either right above or right after Keaton. That was fucking great.
No, that's where I'd put him. I
right after Keaton.
After Keaton. He's above Bale. But...
above Bale, but after Keaton.
Yeah,
I have to give Bale like props for showing a different side of Batman that was not character driven or drama based, and was very like, I'm into this character to a point that he's a bit crazy, and also may have caused Heath Ledger to go crazy as well. Just saying,
he was
like, there's
like he's a good Batman for a movie where you're not actually paying attention to Batman. I'm not looking at him. I'm looking at the villains.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the city.
Yeah. Not only that, but he was kind of a better Bruce Wayne than he was Batman. Like, he was more interesting when he wasn't in costume.
Well, yeah,
like,
because
I don't
then
remember
he
him
had
at
to, like,
all when he was
act.
In costume. Like, yeah. I just don't. I remember the annoying voice, and everything was always very dark and fluttery. Like, and, you know, I get that that's what they're going for. Like, he's more of a force of nature. And, like,
but really, when you see,
like,
yeah,
okay,
Bruce
but I'm not.
Wayne, Bruce Wayne.
I'm not
around.
The one being attacked by Batman. I'm the one in the audience paying to watch Batman attack people. Like, why can't I barely see him? Like, again, director's choice, but I think that.
Yeah.
We can't give Will Arnett all credit for how awesome and fun that movie was. So I know we're all just confusing so hard.
I'm trying to listen to both and give you appropriate answers. camp, yes. Good use, yes.
I've forgotten already, so that's good.
So if I just remembered my response.
if we want to talk superhero fetishy get-ups, though, let's go into full costume and talk about drag for a moment here.
Yeah, especially since we're approaching an hour.
Well, oh my god. And we wanted to... This was supposed to be a mini-sode.
This was supposed to be, yeah.
That's great.
Oh, well.
But we wanted to talk about Brooklyn Heights because I was yelling in The Industry's Doom?
Yes, I think.
That, I think so. That she has an American name, which I found frustrating, but otherwise is a great contestant. So she's fucking... fashionable as shit.
Yeah.
Like, her looks are always fucking amazing. She's blown everyone away.
Ballerina.
She's,
oh.
Yep. She's,
oh, yeah, so you mentioned that. Yeah.
Yep, she's blown everyone away in a few different challenges, but also mainly in runway.
Okay,
sorry. Stole the show in Snatch Game.
Walked out in full mummy attire.
Or not Snatch
on
Game,
point.
Sorry.
With, like, everything tied up on,
oh
like,
my God. Yeah.
Like a mummy doing
stole
ballet.
The show
was like...
untucked and became a meme instantly. Instantly, it's just her making camp, like,
oh, the
Jim
faces.
From the Office faces.
Yeah.
It's amazing. While drinking, it's great. And then fucking bombed the Snatch Game so hard.
As Celine Dion.
As Celine Dion.
Oh.
Just, like, I left the room. I left the room two or three times.
Left the
and
room.
I couldn't. It was too embarrassing.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
I couldn't. And I still
and
have incredible
back
high
in,
hopes
in...
for her. I still think she can win. But, man, she cannot improv. And I'm not an improv person either,
it's
so I get
hard.
It. Oh, yeah,
it's
I wouldn't wish
difficult.
Improv on my worst enemy. But, like, and I wouldn't wish it on Brooklyn Heights again either. As a scripted comic, I think she could do it. At a roast, I
Possibly.
Think she could do it. Maybe at a roast.
I think putting her as a character is hard because she... That's a very personal thing to her. I would think, like, to be, like, change your character. Like, to pull her away from...
See,
so centered in who she is. Like,
oh, yeah. So
yeah.
Having to try to think, like, okay, how would Celine
it's true,
Dion...
she certainly didn't
She's not goofy in that way.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's not in the
Maybe
person's character.
Yeah, she can't relax and get out of herself enough to do that.
Not
perhaps.
Easily.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that's tough, sure, but, man, yeah, no, she certainly didn't embody Celine Dion in, like, any way, shape, or form. It was bad. It was so bad.
Had a backwards tuxedo.
Yeah,
okay.
Otherwise just...
And I was like, okay, better than... other characters playing the same person.
She saved her bacon so hard by showing up on the runway and doing a wig and costume reveal simultaneously and then just, like, slaying the lip-sync challenge. It was really well done. It was very impressive. She has represented Canada tremendously. Like,
so, of
she's
course,
been,
she'll lose. Because,
she's been
yeah.
a queen to watch. No, she might actually win.
Well, that'd be good.
It wouldn't surprise me, even despite this terrible performance.
And also, it had probably... For me, one of the best lip-sync battles between
oh, yeah.
two characters with so much skill and passion that it was just like, you're sitting there and like, who are you going to send home?
See the main ones we're both rooting for, too.
Why? Like,
yeah.
this is, you. It was the best TV point in a show where you're like,
yeah.
Whoa. It was possibly the best episode of RuPaul I've seen.
Wow. And, like there've been, at this point, like, 10-plus seasons of, like, including everything.
Yeah. It was fantastic. It was that good. Like, just because it was fantastic in the way where you want it to be. We're two contestants that you've been rooting for all season. Both stumble. Both, like, end up saving it tremendously through, like, sheer effort. And it's all about the competition. It's not about, like, oh, the tears and the bathroom and the bus stop and, like, this and that and everything else. Like,
at the very end, the two basically run and hug each other because they're just like, we just experienced this stage together.
So,
and didn't even realize the both of us were here.
Yeah, like, it was amazing. Highly recommend. If you're going to watch RuPaul for the first time, start with that.
Start with that because the rest of it's all...
It's all downhill from here.
Until you start watching season one and two, was it? That you're just like, oh, look,
you can't watch season one. You cannot watch season one.
It's held together by wishes.
It wishes and Vaseline filters.
No, those wishes have crumbled.
Yeah.
Like, there's just like...
No.
You remember Polaroids that go bad?
Oh, yeah.
It's there.
Yes.
Like, it's like... Just let it go.
Nobody's watched season one in so long. Like, the VHS tapes have degraded. That's all it's on.
Season one, nobody's for some reason,
yeah,
just gives you the sense of going into a room that smells like cigarettes. You don't smell that as much anymore.
Well, it looks like it was shot in the back of a convenience store. That's why.
It
It essentially was.
You can hear the till sometimes.
You can.
It's probably RuPaul's garage. Like,
I mean, you know.
She probably has a big garage at that
That's
point.
That's the thing. I'm sure she has, like, a California-style McMansion. Like, at her amount of money, even then, she could have gotten something that we'd be like, oh my god, it's a mansion! And Californians are just like, it's a house.
Probably true, although season one would not lead you to believe quite that just yet. Oof. Season two? Sure. Absolutely. Even though it's terrible because the winner's an atrocious person.
Season 3 is where it actually started.
Season 3 and everything after that is fantastic. But this was, I think, the best episode, the best actually just regular competition episode.
Nice.
Not a giant finale or anything, but yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, and one of the characters, Evie Oddly, she is an interesting and different character.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's so forward.
Very fun.
That, like, she causes shit all the time because she's just like, you just lied about this and this. Why?
Oh, not as, like that other one.
That's as they're funny. Saying it. So, like, she listens very intently and, like, responds with something.
Not like
being...
Russia.
No.
No, you were saying, going on to people about lying and things. They had an episode of Untucked where everyone just got way too into it. It was, like, the most emotional, not most emotional, most, like, outraged episode of Untucked ever.
Just everyone.
That was the one where Brooklyn Heights buried herself in a pillow fort to steal attention. It was great.
I saw the greater contextual clip of why she was making those faces, and it seemed to just be like...
Just shouting.
You've all been locked in a room for a month.
Yeah.
And now
there are some real personalities. Like, every season, but this season in particular seems to have a lot of personalities.
Well, you also have the pitbull of Vanjie. She just walks, rah, 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 I'm like,
yeah.
Did you say hello?
She
hi, how
like
are
she
you?
She yells and like, she yells like she talks.
What are the words
and
that are coming out of
your
mouth?
And she, on the show at least, is dating Brooklyn Heights, or like kind of like having a little mini relationship on the show right now with Brooklyn Heights.
Fuck.
No one really knows if it's still ongoing now or not, but
it's like a poodle husky mix.
It's adorable, yeah.
Poodle husky.
Yeah,
it's
Heights
like a pit bull just being like,
tall and
hey,
gorgeous, and Vanjie's like, tiny and hysterical and gorgeous, but...
And also, she also has a very large dog tattoo on her chest right here.
Sure does.
Huh.
That's why I
like a pit bull.
Yeah. It's not a pit bull. What is it? It's
oh, she's definitely a fucking pit bull.
Is it a chihuahua? It's
no, I don't know what
French
it is.
French bulldog?
Nah. I don't know.
It's an interesting dog face on her chest.
It's definitely that.
Dope.
Yeah. No, it's worth... It's definitely worth a watch. Who the fuck were the guest stars? They were great.
Arrested Development.
Yes! Buster Bluth.
Yeah,
random. Oh, I've heard he's into it.
He was so chill during Snatch Game, like, almost, like, no personality chill, and then on the judging panel, he was fantastic.
Weird.
Joel McHale guest starred. Almost, like, caused violence. Like,
I love Joel McHale because he really is an actual real-world shit disturber.
He's a fucking instigator.
Yeah, he is. Have you ever watched The Super?
I've tried. I can't tolerate it.
I love it. Like, I don't really go in for trash gossip, like, celebrity culture, except The Soup. I will watch that forever. I will binge watch it. We've got a Miley segment coming up. Fuck yeah!
Can't
hey, it's
do
Miley.
It.
Can't do
Miley
it.
Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, they essentially anytime Miley did something for like 3 years straight, they were like full fucking segment. Segment intro. Hey, it's Miley. Oh my god, what's Miley doing? And it was like they just over-reported on everything Miley Cyrus.
That's
intentionally.
That's hilarious. No, yeah. I don't think I've seen Michelle Visage lose her cool
ever
with anyone ever on the show until he was on there, and she was just like straight up into unprofessional borderline territory.
Yeah, she not only wanted
yeah
to see your
so
manager.
Hilarious.
She not only wanted to see your manager, she's had an interview and is your manager.
Oh yeah.
You
just
should
so
go
she
home
can fire you. Yeah.
Like
that was great. She was so clearly just like out of patience immediately. It was priceless.
Or like a mom in a grocery
better
store. Just like the
parking lot. Parking lot moms.
I don't remember who the woman was on that episode.
No, it was like focused over here because it was like there was
like, so much going on.
Oh my
so
god, something like turned the table
all
up.
It,
yeah,
it may as well have been the character from 22 Minutes where you're like,
oh god,
wait, did she have lines?
Yeah, right. That was bad.
Who was that?
I loved that. It's the first 22 minutes thing I found funny in like forever, and then the last like 4 to 5 seconds of it are just utter garbage.
It collapses back.
It's
into
just like
22
the bit
minutes
players are like, we're here too, and it's like, oh, you just took me out of like the you just took me out of the fantasy. No.
There's no attention on Mark Critch for too long. Mark Critch demands attention!
Terrible. Is that who that was?
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy that part. Everything else about it was priceless. Have we done it? Have we ate pop culture for this episode? At an hour and 4 minutes?
I guess just because of what it is, Game of Thrones thoughts?
Oh, we really can't ignore that. It's fantastic.
The episode of looks that is just like
yeah
everybody just being like bitch. I haven't seen you. How long has it been since I've seen you?
If we're gonna talk about Game of Thrones like that, we should probably talk about Game of Thrones. I don't even think we should recap Game of Thrones at all ever. We should just direct
recap
people towards
a recast.
To just
yeah
no, we should just direct people to watch.
So
Game
what
of
nickname can we give Jonathan?
What's that?
Because he gives great nicknames.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm saying we won't even review Game of Thrones.
Oh, just simply
that's
say,
all we need. It's
go
like, it's
watch
been done.
Game
we don't need
Thrones
to talk about Game of Thrones on this show. What are we going to add about Game of Thrones? I've never seen a show so overanalyzed. I watched one episode of Game of Thrones, and then, like, all of YouTube was like, here's like, an overanalysis of everything to do with the latest episode. Within, like, 30 minutes of it airing. Like, it's intense.
And that's just the TV show, which is a incredibly bare-bones version
yeah
of the book.
Oh, I know.
Oh, them books!
I don't like to think about the books. I loved the books, and then one didn't come out, and then it didn't come out, and then a lifetime went by,
and
the books still
didn't
come
out. And it still hasn't come out.
And then I heard a prequel was coming out, and I was just like, just fuck yourself.
Two prequels came out. A Knight of the Seven
I don't care. I'm so mad.
And then one about the Targaryen histories, which is part one. So actually there's three coming out, because part two of the Targaryen histories.
Finish the books! Christ! Ugh.
I just want, some writers should be told pencils down.
Yeah, well, no,
like,
it's apparently is a problem of, like, he's created such a complicated world that he spends most of his time now just checking shit instead of writing because he has to make sure that he doesn't contradict himself.
Can't he have a team of writers or a team of researchers for that
he
shit?
He specifically has two people who are incredibly obsessive about it. It's just they're still so much. It actually takes more than a team to make sure that everything is still in line.
Make
with
a university
everything
course. Do like actually give people credit for
it. May actually become that.
Why not?
That's hilarious.
There's a local university that I think he's outside Phoenix or Santa Fe.
Like give the university a bit of the like publishing rights as well, just to be like, hey, guess.
Oh no!
Or
that's
no, but like. Like a byline to say like, oh, thank you, the university.
Oh yeah,
for
no, that like I'm sure that whatever
fact
that is
checking
is
my made up world.
Yeah, I'm sure that that's in the process because I think that like originally his fact checkers kind of came to him through an English lit course. I know that they tracked him down and met because they actually found his house. He still lives in the same house he always did, and it's on Google Earth. He has his address and phone number listed.
That's terrifying.
Oh, yeah.
Good lord.
Yeah. You can just.
Has he not read his books? Does he not know how terrible people can be?
You can just, like, go up and ring his doorbell.
He probably hasn't read them. If he has read them, he'd want them finished, too. He'd be like, my God, I need to know what happens next. I should get on writing that shit.
You really should keep writing that shit.
Christ, don't say I'll get on writing George R.
Right, George, right!
We're gonna have to find out the ending through the show first, and that's so frustrating. I wanted to read it first.
I think the ending of the show is not connected to the ending of the book whatsoever. Like, there's so many things that are unrelated and whatnot. I think
that are unrelated.
Yeah. I think that the, like, yes, there'll be a battle at Winterfell against the Night, but this is, like, 5% of what has actually... It's so distilled and distilled and distilled and distilled.
I know, but it's going to take so many lifetimes to come out. We'll be reading it when we're dead.
Yeah. At least it's something to look forward to, maybe. If it happens.
In the home.
Eventually.
Once George Robot Martin has finished writing it.
Robot. You were going to say something? Okay.
Good end on George Robot Martin. All right.
Beep boop dragons, goodbye. Doug. Yes, hello. Welcome to Please Won't You Shut Up? Shut up, Doug. Shut up!
She's been so quiet.
I know.
This episode. Although it just started.
It's true. I am Mickey.
I'm Blake.
And I am Brent.
Your puppy.
Okay, down. We're recording.
And welcome to the show that is mostly about Star Trek and drag queens.
Yay!
Since you finally saw, we'll get to it.
I like that we're just going to get into it right now.
We're just going to get to it because I know you want to really talk about drag queens, but first comes Star Trek, then drag queens.
No, I have a lot of feelings on Star Trek.
So okay. Yeah, you finally saw, the series, season finale.
Season finale, yeah.
Thoughts?
Oh, so many. Okay, so, first of all, giant Star Trek person. Yeah. Like, Star Trek. All the Star Trek, all the time. Love it. We've gone on before about how I just want to go forward and know what happens next, that I'm so sick of all this, like, constant, like, redoing the
prequel
same time
periods. Prequel to a prequel.
So I'm getting that, in a way, which is great. Uncharted territory is always fun. Not having to, like, worry about all the canon shit anymore. Like, you're post-canon. You're the new frontier.
You can do lots.
That's exciting. But mainly, I found season two did two things for me. Mm. It endeared the main core of characters that went to the future. Spoiler alert. But, you know, they're going 950 years into the future now. If you haven't seen it, you shouldn't be listening to this.
Yay!
Yeah, you're on the internet. You haven't seen the season finale of Discovery. Like, fuck off. Go do that right now.
Why are you listening to a Star Trek
It's not
podcast?
The morning after Game of Thrones. Like, come on. Like, no, just...
Even if it's the morning after Game of Thrones, all bets are off.
Unfortunately. But yeah. That one I'm more sensitive to.
Exactly.
I am more sensitive to that, though, sure. But no, so I'm very excited that they're going into the future and that this core group of characters are, because the season made me enjoy this core group of characters a lot more and enjoy seeing them riff off each other a lot, and that's always been the core of Star Trek to me. And they haven't had that?
Yeah.
It's been like, Michael Burnham, who you still barely know but seems to do everything twice, is now doing this shit. And also, like, Sarek's, I don't know, her dad, and also twin and mentor and space thing, and like, all right, fine. It's the truest, but now you're getting a bit more of the rest of them.
It's the truest form of going to a place that they have never been ever before.
Like,
it's the furthest... Yeah. It's further than Q pushing you really far away.
And this is why...
Like, it's just... out of your context.
And this is why I'm happy about that. Cleaning up all the extraneous nonsense at the outskirts. Because the other thing this season did was confuse me. I don't remember a lot of the plot points. I just generally got kind of lost. And that doesn't usually happen to me with Trek.
And like, I think it was because Star Trek has never done before a long-term, like, quest storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they were doing. Like, they're
which
they're
I was
questing.
Super down for.
Yeah.
I was. But also, like, I didn't care enough about the places and people and shit yet. Like,
yeah. It was almost like a Star Wars-y kind of thing where, like, aside from the time travel, which apparently is now in Star Wars AOA, it's taking a fantasy element and putting it in a sci-fi element, and that usually doesn't work
well.
What,
time travel?
No, the quest.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think having a quest is necessarily to be particular to fantasy.
The segment of it. It was like having a red angel and having to go to different areas and like solve that. That's so Arthurian.
I was fine with all that, but on some level, I still didn't really care.
Oh, yeah.
Like I just didn't engage with the show.
Okay,
like these people hadn't gotten me yet, and I.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.